I'll do my disclaimer this morning like I do on a lot of Sundays. I feel a stirring on the inside here. I don't know exactly where God is going to carry us with all that, but what I will do is follow. Somebody say follow. So if I start and it seems as though I've gotten off somewhere, know that I haven't. Know that I'm just following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Now, I was going to try to do two things this morning, but I don't think I'll get an opportunity to do both. I was going to give you an update on my sabbatical. You know, I was on sabbatical from Monday to Thursday. I came back Thursday afternoon, and I had a good time in the mountains of Tennessee. Somebody say amen. I didn't do nothing but sleep and pray and hear from the Lord, amen, and eat. Somebody say he ate. And that was the almost the gist of my sabbatical. I rode up and down the road and looked at people. You know, there's always something interesting you can see when you look at people, amen. They were walking, I was riding, amen. And it rained a lot. And a funny thing happened on my way back to the hotel from eating one afternoon. They had warned us about black bears walking around in the city and how we couldn't leave anything in the car because if we leave something in the car, the bear smell it, he or she will try to get it, amen. So I was on my way back to the hotel up on the mountain, and I looked to my right, and there goes a black bear in broad open daylight. Wasn't a very big one, but he was big enough, amen. And he walked across the street, and some people, you know, they're always walking in Gatlinburg. They were walking, and they saw him. They started to point at him. So I went back to the hotel and asked the people, were the bears friendly? They said, yeah, they're friendly, but don't try to pet them, amen, because they might turn on you. So, well, it was interesting. Somebody say interesting. So I thought, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I would talk to you about my sabbatical, and then I thought maybe that I would give you part 12, say part 12, about teachings on the New Testament concept of the kingdom of God, and then I believe that God has narrowed it down to me talking about my sabbatical. Somebody say amen. You know, when folks are kind enough to send you somewhere, you ought to be kind enough to share with them what you learned from your time away, man. So we will share. We will share. Somebody say share. I was praying on Monday, last Monday morning, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, read the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph. And I like the life of Joseph, and I said, I will. And I began to read the life of Joseph. So Monday I left and started for the hills of Tennessee. And Tuesday I got up and I prayed and I read some more about the life of Joseph. Wednesday I finished reading about the life of Joseph. And on Thursday morning I got up, began to pray, and began to read something else. I don't remember what I was reading. The Lord began to speak to me concerning five key things that I needed to remember from the life of Joseph, amen. And I'm going to share those five key things with you in just a minute. But this morning, when I woke up, I always listen to at least two preachers as we prepare to come to church. I used to listen at Casey Treat. Say Treat. Now I've transferred over from Casey Treat to Dr. Evans. What's Dr. Evans? David Evans, amen. And then I'll listen to Tony Evans. Oh, two Evans. Listen to Tony Evans, and then by that time we'll eat breakfast, and then we'll finish preparing to come to church. This morning when I turned on Dr. Tony Evans, he was talking about what God wanted me to talk about, amen. So I listened to him. Somebody say, listen to him. Now, Tony shared some things that God didn't give me to share with you, but I'm going to share at least one of them with you, amen. Tony was talking about the life of Joseph. He was talking about how immature Joseph was. God showed Joseph being the 11th son of Israel or Jacob, God showed him that at some point in his life that his brothers and his dad would bow to him, amen. And Joseph being immature, Joseph decided that he would tell his brothers. Now, his brothers were already mad at him. They were mad at him because he was the daddy's favorite. You know, when we have babies in our old age, when time is supposed to be up for having babies, a lot of times that child will become very special to us. Amen. And Joseph was one of those children that were very special. He was so special to his dad until his dad got him a coat of many colors. Amen. And Joseph, in his immaturity, was always wearing it before his brothers, boasting that at some point, boasting that one, he was the favorite. And then he told them about the fact that they would bow down to him at some point. Amen. Told them the parable about the sheaves that were all the sheaves, and he was a major sheaf that they bowed over to. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, the brothers got mad at him, and they first decided they were going to kill him. And then one of the brothers talked him out of that, so what they did was threw him in the pit. And one brother was going to go back and get him out of the pit at some point. But when he went back to get him out of the pit, somebody had already got him, and he was sold into slavery. Amen. So Dr. Evans made the point that destiny, somebody say destiny, was on Joseph's life. He showed in the scripture what Joseph's destiny was. Amen. But he also brought out the point that when destiny, somebody say destiny, when destiny is on our lives and we are too mature to apprehend or take hold of that destiny, sometimes God will allow detours, say detours, detours in our lives to grow us up so that we can meet our destiny and do what thus saith the Lord. Amen. So because Joseph was immature, say immature, God allowed him to hit some detours, amen. He detoured by the pit. He detoured into slavery. He detoured into prison. And then at the point where he was mature, God allowed him to reach his destiny so that he could fulfill God's destiny or God's purpose on his life, amen. I said all that to say, and these are not my five keys, but I said all that to say, when destiny is on your life, say destiny. You will accomplish your destiny, amen. But sometimes God has to put us in some places to grow us up. Somebody say grow us up before we can take advantage of that destiny, amen. And when he was talking, I was reminded of the fact that God allowed us to leave Collegeville and to come here where we are, glory to God. And he said to us one Sunday, I got up to preach one thing, and God said, we would be here until such time as we grew up to the point where we could take advantage of the next place that he had in store for us. Amen. Yeah. I thought it was going to be 2 or 3 years. We're on 6. Somebody say 6. Yeah. Which means that God is still growing us in a way where he can put us in the place of destiny that he desires us to be. And we will get there without making so many mistakes. Amen. Now, we might still make mistakes after we walk into destiny, but the real deal is God will have matured us to a place where we will sort of minimize those mistakes. Amen. Amen. So don't get weary where you are. Know that it's just a detour. Say detour. Because God has us on our way somewhere. Amen. And we've been hearing this for years. Somebody say for years. Don't be weary. Somebody say don't be weary. As a matter of fact, I think we're closer now than we've ever been, amen. As a matter of fact, I think we're right around the corner, amen. That's why y'all were shouting about him making the way this morning, amen. Sometimes we're shouting, don't even know what we're shouting about, amen. I believe the way has been made. In just a few days, we'll be walking into that promised land. And then we'll do some of those things, or perhaps all those things that God has destined us to do, amen. So don't be weary. You know, a lot of times we've heard from a lot of different preachings that we're not supposed to go through anything, we're not supposed to suffer, et cetera, et cetera. But the real deal, a part of God's plan is to grow you up or to grow us up so that we can meet the destiny that he has on our lives. Amen. Somebody say amen. So again, don't get weary where you are. Learn everything you can. Grow up where you need to grow up. And then God will be able to use you or use us the way that he desires us when we reach destiny. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now that was good from Dr. Tony Evans. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. But God gave me five things. Say five things. Five things. Five keys or five key things that we need to remember from the life of Joseph. Amen. And number one, God said to me on Thursday that success, say success. Success is always inevitable when God is with a person or with a people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Listen, if God is with you, there's going to be a great amount of success in your life. Amen. But the real deal is you got to believe, one, if he says he's with you, that he is with you. Somebody say amen. And secondly, that because he's with us, the success will come. Amen. Here again, when God is with the person or with the people, there's an inevitable success that will overtake the person. Somebody say amen. Well, let's prove that from the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 2. Y'all all right? How many of y'all know that God is with you? Somebody say amen. So you're gonna have some success. Somebody say success. Now, your success might not look like mine, and my success might not look like yours, but there will be a reasonable amount of success in our lives when God is with us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Genesis 39:2. I like that translation. So the Lord was with whom? Joseph. So, or because the Lord was with Joseph, he succeeded in what? In everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Amen. So because the Lord was with Joseph, he succeeded in everything that he did. Give me the King James translation on that. Amen. Somebody say amen. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? Prosperous man. Say a prosperous man. Prosperous equals success. Somebody say amen. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Somebody say amen. So number one, God said success. Say success. It's always inevitable when God is with a person or a people. Amen. Number two, God says when he is with the people, say a people, no matter how challenging situations may seem, the people always prosper or succeed. Amen. Somebody say amen. When God is with the people, no matter how challenging situations may seem, the people always prosper or succeed. Somebody say amen. First, Joseph was in the pit. Say in the pit. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 24. Now, that's the situation, isn't it? To be down in the pit, you can't get out like a whale. Somebody else has to come along and get you out. But when you get out, you begin to prosper the way that God desires you to prosper. Amen. Genesis 37:24. Amen. Then they grabbed him. Say they grabbed him. Those jealous brothers of his, they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Or the pit. Let's stay with the King James translation for a while. Amen. They took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Amen. So he was able to survive after they threw him in the pit because there was no water in there to drown him. Amen. Somebody said God was looking out for him. He went from the pit to slavery. Somebody say slavery. Genesis 37:28. These are situations. Say situations. These are situations that will cause some of us to give up. Amen. Just let me die right now here in this pit, Lord. I just don't know what's going to happen. Amen. And don't get caught up in slavery. Amen. Make us want to quit. Amen. He says, then there passed by Midianites. Say Midianite. Midianite merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit. And they did what? Sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into what? Egypt. So first, Joseph was in the pit. That's the situation. Say situation. Secondly, he was in slavery. So that was the situation. But one thing I noticed about Joseph, as I read about Joseph, no matter where he found himself, he never complained. He never complained. So I think that he knew that God was with him, amen. And I think also that he knew that he was going to reach his destiny, so he decided not to complain. Somebody said not complain. We need to learn to take that attitude. When we know that God is with us, when we know that God has a destiny for our lives, or a destiny on our lives, when we understand that God has purposed our lives, when we find ourselves in situations, we ought to be like Joseph. We ought not be complaining. Lord, will you hurry up and get me out of this? Well, Lord, how come I had to be in this anyway? Well, Lord, why I had to go through? See, the real deal is you had to go through because he was trying to raise you up, glory to God, or maturing. Somebody say maturing me. Amen. So Joseph had an attitude that never complained. He's gone from the pit, and he's gone to slavery. Somebody say slavery. And then he went from slavery to prison. Somebody say prison. Genesis chapter 39, verses 19 through 20. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Will you stop complaining? My Lord. Do you know, I just told you I'll be 61 in September. Yeah. And I still hadn't reached my destiny. Hallelujah. I can complain, Lord, I'm getting old now. Yeah. We need to come on get this thing. No, I read in the scripture, well, God used folks older than me. Yeah. There were some 80-year-olds that he called, amen. And they went on to do the will of God as God desired, amen. So I ain't complaining about my age. I've thought about it a couple of times, amen. But then when I remember what the scripture says about Joshua and Caleb and Moses and all that bunch, hey, I can hold on. I can hold on. Jesus started early, but everybody else didn't start early, amen. Somebody say amen. Well, some started early, but everybody didn't start early, amen. People moved into their destiny as God desired them to move into them. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we've been hearing these prophetic words for 30 years and we still hadn't made it to our destiny. Just hang in there. Amen. God is trying to raise us up. Amen. Yeah. He might be trying to stop you from complaining. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Amen. So he went from slavery to prison. Somebody say prison. Verse number 19. Chapter 39 says, and it came to pass when his master, now Joseph was going to work for Potiphar. You know, in his slavery, he was enslaved to Potiphar. Potiphar had gave him reign of his whole house, but Potiphar had a wayward wife. And she saw a nice-looking brother, amen, with some muscles on him, amen. She wanted to go to sleep. No, she wanted to go to bed with him, amen. And he wouldn't sleep with her because he was committed to doing what God desired him to do, or he was committed to taking care of Potiphar's possessions and not touching his wife. Amen. I wonder how many of us would have passed that test. Amen. Somebody say amen. So one day she cornered him in the house and he ran out of his clothes to keep her from sleeping with him. Amen. She took that opportunity to lie on him. The lie led to prison. In prison, glory to God, Joseph excelled even there, amen. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was what? Kindled. Verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Say prison. He's been in the pit. He's gone from the pit to slavery. Now he's gone from slavery to prison. And we still don't hear him complaining, amen. And a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there, where? In prison. So he went from the pit to slavery, from slavery to prison, and ultimately he reached his destiny. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 39. So he had to go through some situations. He had to go through some changes before he reached his destiny. He didn't have a dream one day and wake up the next day and he was fulfilling his destiny. There had to be some changes in his life, some situations in his life. And Dr. Evans said for him to grow up. Somebody say amen. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Verse number 40. And Pharaoh, now he's gone from prison to the palace now, thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be what? Ruled. Only in the throne will I be what? Greater than thou. So Joseph has gone all the way from the pit to the palace. Now he's in control of everything. Somebody say amen. Next verse, please. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee what? Over all the land of Egypt. The dude was in a pit not long ago. The dude was in slavery not long ago. The dude was in prison not long ago. Now he's in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Amen. But he didn't complain. Somebody say amen. And he didn't boast when he got to where he was. Somebody say amen. Next verse. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see. Next verse. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen. He got on no pit clothes no more. Amen. And put a gold chain about his neck. Verse number 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot. Who you think was in the first chariot? Pharaoh himself, amen. In the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bowed their knees. And he made him ruler over what? All the land of Egypt. Verse number 44. Check this out. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Anybody who did something in Egypt had to go through Joseph, amen. From the pit to slavery, from slavery to prison, from prison to the palace. Somebody say amen. Now, the scripture tells us what Joseph what Joseph's brothers meant for evil, God meant for good, amen. God was trying to get Joseph to a place so that he could save his brothers and even save a lot of people in the land of Egypt and even in the land of Canaan. Amen. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Is this happening to anybody? I hope it is. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Joseph says, but as for you, he's talking to his brothers. Now his brothers have come over into the land where he is because they needed some food. Say some food. And when they encountered him, they didn't even know it was him. Through a series of events, he revealed himself unto them, amen. And now they're feeling bad about what they did to him because they realize now he's alive because for so many years they thought he was dead, amen. So Joseph says to them, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it what? Unto good. So don't get all bent out of shape when evil's coming against you, amen. Somebody say, I won't. Because the evil can show up and show us some good things. Somebody say, amen. He says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save what? Much people alive. Amen. Somebody say, amen. So I think that's number three. Somebody say number three. That was number two. Thank you, Willie Jr. When God is with the people, no matter how challenging situations may seem, the people always prosper or succeed. Somebody say amen. Number three. And these are the things that God was telling me. And you do get what he's saying to me. Somebody say amen. No matter how challenging things have been for you, I got a destiny on your life. You're going to succeed and you're going to fulfill your destiny. Amen. Nobody can stop me from fulfilling my destiny except me, amen. And I don't intend to do that, amen. I've been in this thing too long, waiting too long for God to do what he's going to do, amen, for me to get in the way of what he wants to do, amen. And, you know, occasionally he's still showing me some things about myself that need to be worked out. And I'm trying to work with him to get it done. Somebody say amen. Number three, when the blessing, say the blessing. Now you know I've been speaking the blessing of Abraham over your life for the last two or three weeks. Amen. You need to hear that and receive it. Say receive it. Number three, when the blessing of God is upon a people, they excel. Say excel in all that they do. Amen. Joseph went from slavery to being in charge of Potiphar's house. Somebody say from slavery to being in charge of Potiphar's house. First that was the pit, that was slavery, and then when he finally got to Potiphar's house, he was in charge of everything. Somebody said in charge of everything. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 4. When the blessing of the Lord is on you, guess what? You're going to excel. Somebody say amen. Genesis 39, 4. Is this making sense to you? And Joseph found grace, say grace, in his sight. Not in God's sight at this point, this Potiphar's sight, amen. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Say he served him. And there's another thing you can notice about Joseph. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house in slavery, he wasn't kicking about where he was, amen. He was comfortable because I have to believe that he knew that the blessing of the Lord was on him, amen. Somebody say amen. And he served him, and he made him what? Overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put in whose hand? In Joseph's hands, amen. So Potiphar trusted Joseph. Somebody say amen. Okay, he went from prison. He went from Potiphar's house, to prison. And when he went to prison, he was in charge of everything in the prison. Somebody say in the prison. Genesis 39, 21 through 22. Wherever he went, he succeeded. Wherever he went, he did well. Wherever he went from the bottom to the leadership spot. Amen. Somebody say amen. I had a little glimpse of my life right then. Everywhere that I've gone, as it relates to employment, God has always allowed me to raise up, or he's always raised me up to a leadership position. And he was probably showing me something then, amen, that I was too blind to see, amen. I'm with you even when you don't know I'm with you, amen. Man, you were still in the street doing all kind of stuff, amen. But God was with me, and no matter where I found myself, I was always elevating. Always elevating because the blessing of the Lord was on my life. Somebody say amen. Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, say with Joseph, and showed him what? Mercy. And gave him favor. God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Amen. So Joseph prospered everywhere that he went because the blessing of the Lord was on him. Amen. He went from prison to being in charge over everything in Egypt. Say everything in Egypt. Genesis 41:40. Is this happening to anybody? Genesis 41:40. Some of you all can look back over your life and see a little snippet here and a little snippet there of God being with you. Amen. I remember one time I set my fool self on fire. Yeah. You know, I saw somebody, you know, they put gas on the leaves, throw a match on the leaves, and the leaves burn up. Well, let me tell you what I did. I poured gas on the leaves, gave the gas time enough to settle in the leaves. I went and got me a match, came back, threw the match on the leaves. The leaves blew up and the fire came up. Amen. The explosion was so powerful until it blew the clock off the wall. We were living in East Lake at that particular time. But God saved me from that. Amen. I was on the back of a truck one time, fell off. God saved me from that. Amen. God was preserving. Say preserving. Preserving me because he had a purpose on my life, amen. The blessing was on my life, I was prospering, and he was keeping me because he has something for me to do, amen. Somebody say amen. Genesis 41:40. Thou shalt what? Be over my house, Pharaoh says. In according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be what? Greater than you. So because the blessing was on his life, everywhere he went, he prospers. Somebody say amen. Amen. So number three, when the blessing of God is upon a people, they excel in all that they do. Number four, when God is with the people, others prosper because of their presence. Amen. When God is with the people, others prosper because of their presence. Now I'm the preacher, and I'm working at Alabama largest newspaper back then, and I got a heathen for a boss. Well, at least I thought he was anyway. And I was talking one day about quitting or something. He said, "No, you can't quit." He said, "The reason why this department is doing as well as it's doing is because you and him." And I listened to him, but back then I didn't get it. Amen. And then I was thinking about that a couple of days ago, and I said, there was more preachers up there than me. But the Lord allowed him to see the blessing that was on my life. Amen. He understood that the place going under now, it ain't because I left either, amen. He understood that there was something on my life that caused the department to move along the way that it was moving along. So he recognized this. They recognized that. When something is on your life, it's tangible. Somebody say tangible. Somebody else can see, amen.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen. So number four, what was number four again? When God is with the people, others around that person or that people prosper. Somebody say amen. Genesis chapter 39, verses 4-5, and then verse number 23. Is this happening in the body? You wonder why things are going on so well around you? It's because you're there, amen. The blessing is on your life. My wife just got promotion in the culture. It's changing, amen. The blessing is on her life. I can recognize what's on my life. I can recognize what's on my wife's life, but it's up to you to recognize what's on yours. Amen. That's right. Be a living witness. Somebody say amen. 39:4. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Verse number 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him, Potiphar, made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for whom's sake? Just because Joseph was there, the Lord blessed that house. Y'all see that, don't you?
Yeah.
David, you're looking at me real funny. Are we all right? Amen. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Why? Because Joseph was there. Verse number 23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with whom? Joseph. And that which he did, the Lord made it what? To prosper. So, you know, when the blessing of the Lord, what did I say? Verse number 4, when God is with the people, or others prosper because of their presence. Number 5. Now, this one I had to wrestle with a little bit because of the fact that I've been listening to some teaching for a long time that says a little bit contrary to what God said to me. But then God proved what he said. Amen. Number 5, God will cause, or allow situations so that his people can get where he desires them to be. God will cause, or allow situations so that his people can get where he desires them to be. We'll read that one more time and get ready to say something that might rub some of y'all the wrong way. So we'll read it one more time, then we'll prove it to you in Scripture. God will cause or allow situations, his situations, so that his people can get where he desires them to be. I'm meditating on that point this morning. I begin to think about Friendship Baptist Church, Friendship Christian Church Ministries. Now I begin to think about the fact that for the longest, God has wanted to move us. Say move us. And I begin to think about the fact when I first came there, first started pastoring Friendship Baptist Church, that I was always riding. And God was always showing me land. And it was always outside of Collegeville. I remember one time on 44th Street in over near Hooper City where Flying J is. I remember one time the Lord had spoken to me about that land, and I carried all the deacons up there. And we prayed about that land. So when Flying J bought the land and started building on the land, I got upset because I thought that was where we were supposed to be. What God was trying to show me way back then was he wanted to take us out of the place where we were and move us to another place so that he could fulfill his destiny in us as a ministry man. Now, I have to believe this. I believe that if the contamination situation would have never happened, we probably wouldn't have never left Collegeville, amen. Because I would have had to fight with most of y'all, amen. I would have had to fight with the fact, well, Pastor, we don't owe nothing on this building. We don't owe nothing on this land. We got all this land. All we need to do is build, so on and so forth. But it wasn't God's plan for us to build on the land, amen. It was God's plan for us to go somewhere else, amen. So he either allowed that situation, I want to say he allowed that situation to happen so that we can come up out of Collegeville, come to this place where he could work on our minds, glory to God, so that we can go to the next place so that he can fulfill his destiny through us, amen. We would have been still over there trying to build a building that would have never come up, glory to God, because it was not God's will for us to be there, amen. And sometimes when the Lord is dealing with me about that, he tells me about promises that he made to forefathers, which probably were people that prior to me that probably never spoke about the fact that God was promising them that there was another land for them to go into. Amen. So sometimes God would allow, somebody say allow. Or he will create a situation to get his people where he desired them to be. Let me prove this in the life of Joseph real quick. Amen. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 28. 28 through 36. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
The devil did it. Perhaps. But God allowed it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do. Now Pharaoh had this dream. Say dream. He had a dream that seven fat cows came up out of the water. They were healthy. And then the dream went on. Seven skinny cows came up out of the water. And the seven skinny cows ate up seven fat cows, but they got no fat, amen. And then he dreamed about 7 ears of corn being on one stalk. They were healthy. And then seven more came out of the water that was blasted, I think, by the east wind. And they ate up the seven full ears of corn. And Pharaoh was concerned about the dream. So God allowed Joseph to interpret the dream to him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And listen to what God says. Or listen to what the word says. He said, this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he show it unto Pharaoh. So God hadn't done it yet, but he was about to do it. Say he was about to do it. Next verse. 29. Behold, there come 7 years of what? Great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse number 30. And there shall arise after them what? 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall what? Consume the land. Verse number 31. This is the interpretation of the dream. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be what? Very grievous. Verse number 32. And for that the dream was double unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will what? Surely bring it to pass. Who established it? Verse number 33. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Verse number 34. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty. That was going to be a tax charge on the people, a fifth of what they were bringing in so that Joseph could lay it up. So that when the land went into famine, people will have something to eat. Verse number 35. That's what I always talk about savings from right there. Verse number 35. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Verse number 36. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Chapter number 45, verse number 5. So God created the famines. They created the famine. So that Joseph could get to the place where he could preserve people. Did you see that? Verse number five. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold Joseph, talking to his brother, sold me hither, for God did send me before you to do what? Preserve life. Chapter number 50, verse number 20 again. So all this God stirred up to get Joseph where he wanted him to be. So Joseph could save some lives. Amen. Can I say something to you? All this stuff that God has allowed to happen in the life of this ministry has happened so that God can get us to a place where we can do what he needs us to do to preserve people's lives. Amen.
Yeah.
And some of us can't see it now.
I see it.
But some of us will see it. Amen. Some of us believe. Some of us say believe. Some of us have faith, and then some of us have to see in order to have faith. Amen. I believe because God said it. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you are going to have to see in order to get on board. Amen. But God created some things so that his people can get where he desired them to be. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, Joseph said, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, say to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Amen. So the fifth thing God said to me was, he will cause or allow situations so that his people can get where he desires them to be.
Yeah.
And here again, I don't think we would have ever left Collegeville. He might have had a hard time even getting through to me, amen, had it not been for the situation that arose. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then God said to me that he's in control.
Yeah.
Somebody say he's in control.
Yeah.
And then he took me to one scripture to sum up everything that he told me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. He's in control. Amen. I'm going to give you a few minutes back today. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all, don't read it too fast, that all things work how? Together for what? Even the stressful situations, even the hard situations, even the harsh circumstances, they work together for what? Good's going to come out of them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They work together for good to them that do what?
Love God.
Now listen to the rest of it. To them who are what? The call. Say the call. Slow down. The call according to his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
This helps us to see that there are some things that's going to transpire in our lives. Amen.
Yeah.
As he grows us up to get us where he desires to be. Amen. Yeah. But it's going to work together for good. Amen. Because he has a purpose for his people. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether or not God is saying this to all the churches, but I know what he's saying to this church.
Right.
And you might think you're too old to participate in what he's going to do next. Amen. But hang in there. Somebody say hang in there. Some songwriter said he didn't bring us this far to leave us. Amen. So let me run over those 5 points one more time, those 5 things that he told me one more time, and then I'm going to close, amen. Because I got another sermon right up under this one that I can run right on into, amen. But I don't think you will sit through that one, amen. Number one, he says success. Say success. Success is always inevitable when God is with a people or a person, amen. Number two, he says when God is with the people, no matter how challenging situations may seem, the people always prosper or succeed. And when, you know, when I think about the promised land and the Egyptians, if one group don't make it in, the next group who has sense enough to believe it will make it in. Amen. Somebody say amen. Number three, he says, where the blessing of God is upon a people, they excel in all that they do. Number four, when he is with the people, others prosper because of their presence.
Yeah.
And number five, he said that he will cause or allow situations so that his people can get where he desires them to be. Amen. He caused the famine in the land of Egypt so that Joseph could get there and be in place to help not just the people of Israel, but the people that from the land that he came from himself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Did that help anybody?
Yes. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we, my God, we honor you so much for your word, your liberating word that helps us, your liberating word that sets us free. And then, Lord, for your word that encourages us to hang on in there so that your purpose can be fulfilled in us.